understand the truth of the money. The devil has made the money his playground, his tool of deceiving. The very first thing you need to know, we as Christians need to know, we have to accept it. Everything. But this creation that we have here on earth, everything, and all this content, and includes money, belongs to God.
Okay.
Let's go to Psalms, if you would, Psalms 50. Turn to that, and I'm going to start verse 7 and read through 12 or 50. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your hand, but your goat out of your field. Every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on the thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains. All the wild beasts of the field of mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. The world is mine, and all is full. No doubt that God claims ownership of everything in this world, and that includes money. That was in Psalms 50. Verses 7 through 12. He even has control of how we are to obtain it. He has control of our physical health, mental health. Proverbs, that's where we're going to get our wisdom from. I know this is not a Proverbs class, but if you want wisdom on how to utilize your money and the godly way of handling your money, then we certainly got to know what wisdom is. Let's go to Proverbs 1:19. Someone will read that for me. Stay in Proverbs, because we're going to skip around and read a few other verses on Proverbs. Proverbs 1:19. Let's read that for me. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10.
Honor the Lord for your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. For your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflowing with new wine.
27 and 28. Same. Proverbs 3.
Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it to you. for you to have it with you.
Proverbs 6:6-11.
Proverbs 30:2-9.
lot of Proverbs you read there, like me, maybe none of your things that I have, right? You read those over and over and over and over, come to those things. But after a while, they do sink in, and they will give you guidance on the use of your money. How to handle money, or rather the love of money, as we all know, is the root of all evil. Not just some evil, not just a little bit of evil, but all evil money. There's a powerful force we have to reckon with here on earth. We're going to need God's help to reckon with it. So we need to go to God's wisdom. I know we've covered this verse in prior classes, but I want to go back to Mark 10, verses 20 and 21, about the rich young ruler. And I want to point out something to you I think we overlook when we read about this. Mark 10, verses 20 and 21. Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler, and he told Jesus about all the things that he's not done, prohibited by God. Jesus looked at him and he said he loves him. Jesus could tell from this young dog his heart is in the right place. Jesus said to him in verse 20, he said to Jesus, he said, Teacher, I've kept all these things from you. And Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, the one thing you lack, go your way and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Jesus was not telling this young ruler, you only have one sin in your life left. He was not telling him that. He was telling him that this one sin that he does have, which is that he loves his money more than he loves God.
Amen.
And he was not willing to give that up. And that sin is the root of all other sin. You would say he was so close, but yet so far. Had he gone to that sin and said, I've given that sin up, save his soul. We don't comprehend that. And I think we've got some misgivings in there. We're gonna be in danger just like the street and we lose our soul. Think of how powerful money's effect can have on your soul. You know, with money, Satan seduces you. He makes you promises that you can't keep. He deceives you. He makes you believe that your happiness is winning money. You're going to be happy for the rest of your life. He has the power for money to destroy you and lose your God's perspective on life. He can make you his slave. In the verse it says, no man can serve two masters. He can make you his slave. He can control you. Control you to the point that you will lose your soul. You can say to within yourself, no, it's not me that money I have a problem with. I'll make that much money. I ain't gonna lose my soul over. This is Satan lying to you when you say that to yourself, but you have any money. I mean any money. We all do have some money. He will deceive you on how you want and you think you want to use it. He'll deceive you into the use of own pleasure. He'll deceive you into making more debt than you can afford. He will deceive you on hoarding it, keeping it away from everybody. He can deceive you on neglecting your family because of money, whether small or great, is a force to be reckoned with. If not wise, you will misuse what God has allowed you to have, which causes stress, causes strife, causes broken marriages, it's causes broken homes. Probably the worst thing, it's called broken family. And in some cases, money has led to murder and stealing. Wisdom from God on how to use money is first. We all have power to earn money. To some level we do. God wants us to use what we have. He wants us to use it wisely. You know that in today's world, where both parents work, I think the median income has better 45 to 50,000 dollars a year. If you were to multiply that by 20 years, we all worked for this for 20 years, you as a family would have earned over $1 million. And that's a fact. I mean, it's just a mathematics. If you just earned 30,000, if you were single, you just earned $30,000 a year. In 10 years, it's $300,000. In 40 years, it's $600,000. Really?
Where does it come from?
If this is close to being true, and if you use godly wisdom to handle this money, everyone here should not want it anything. It's never how much you earn. And this is the lesson in life that I was told many years ago. It's never, never, never how much you earn. It's how much you are able to save. It's never. We all make, over a period of time, make a lot of money. But at the end of that time, it's all gone. What point was it that you even earned it? It wasn't spent wisely. It's how much you were able to put the set aside and use in a godly way. How much do we use wisely? One last point I want to make before we get into discussion. Now, this came out of a statistic. And this is true, I'd say it's true, but 95%, maybe more, of the foundation. But every month, we're on a complete government assistance, which includes your housing, your social security, food stamps, and all the other things that they have for government. If every member was on that, and they gave 10%. You know that they gave in the increase in the foundation? That's a fact. If you own complete government welfare, and you receive all the benefits, and you gave 10% of all the benefits, the giving would increase in the Lord's foundation. If we were to use money as God intended, this is the question. What do we need to know about God's gift of money? If we're going to use God's money as He intended for us to use it, what do we know about His gift to us? The people, yeah. All the people. You're really not giving up anything back to Him. You're returning a portion to God, which is it. You're not giving anything back. And I guess this is the question, this is the question to the whole congregation. Is there anything that we have that's true now?
Not a thing.
Not the car we have? Not the clothes we have? Four wheels we have, not those fishing rods we have, not the golf clubs we have.
Sure, I think, you know, one of the things that I think would help us kind of keep this in a proper perspective is realizing not only does it not belong to us, it belongs to God, but the other thing is that He has given it to us as stewards of those things. In other words, that they're not given to us to use as we want to. They're given to us to use for His purpose. And we're responsible to use them for Him. Because it belongs to Him, and all we are is caretakers of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of stewardship is really important in realizing, you know, what we do with the things that God gives to us to use, because he gives us not only those things to use, but the responsibility to use them in a proper way. And so stewardship is vital to that.
And of course, to learn more is given, and more, of course, is the same thing, more too, more than expected from that person. And that we tend to think, and maybe it's just an escape that we just try to use, we tend to think, compare ourselves to others, and we look to super, what we call super rich people, and say, you know, that's their problem, and they got that problem. I only earned, you know, this amount, and I've got it all spent out, I've already got to allocate that. So it doesn't apply to me. Any amount of money that we have is a gift from God, and he holds us accountable for how we're going to use it. And I dare say that how you use that, if you use it properly, the way, then he'll continue to bless you. He'll continue to bless you. Unfortunately, a lot of people in this world and in this country here do not have the physical health or the mental health to earn money. And then, of course, we that have money have a responsibility to take care of those people, to pay for it. Just like that's who Jesus put a key down for. We mustn't forget that. When we see someone who's incapable of going to work day out of the day and earn their money for whatever reason, then we have a responsibility to us to have whatever amount we have. Not saying if we have millions, if we have hundreds, if we have tens. It's our responsibility to take care of the people who are there to take care of themselves. Therein lies another test that God gives us to have a little money. How do you use it? And if you see that need, you turn your back on it, you walk away from it. And it gets back to the point I was making the very first part of this class. It's an awesome responsibility that we have to utilize God's mind the way he intended us to do. We can't rationalize that away in our mind, and though I like to do it, some other way to do it.
I just remember that God blessed me to have a reasonable enough health to work when I was working. And I truly believed in trying to get back as the Lord had blessed me. But the thing that I did not realize, the importance of not just giving as I should, but giving a percentage of everything that the Lord blessed me with, particularly when it came to money. We could save money even in credit union in the bank. What percentage of that I could give him back? You know, we are often real quick to think we're right there, but we never are, because I found myself, like I told you last week, I had to really learn how to give in a way that God would be pleased with. And I still feel like I ain't there yet. And no, I'm not going to excuse my the way I said it. No, I ain't there yet.
None of us are.
So I just want to, I like the idea of God to get people to understand, as we'll be saying all through the lesson, none of it, as you've already said, Russell said it, I said it, it's not ours. None of it is ours. But we need to, you know, we can feel good about giving. If you're doing it in a way that God wants you to do it, that should make you feel good. I know it makes you feel good. So.
If money were a drug, if Satan was a drug, then money would be a drugstore. That's why he's right. Because it appeals to every weakness that we got. Everybody wants to have food to eat, and sometimes we need too much more food than we deserve. Everybody wants to get nice and want to pay for it, and drugs and drugs and lifestyle. Satan thrives in that way. When in fact, when any kind of power feels around, it's been a problem. Things like the highest debt, four walls, Satan is always there, playing around and make sure that all you deserve for. Just look at the table. A nice car, a room, so and so's car. Oh, they're nice. And that feels to us. I mean, frankly, that feels to many. If we don't properly use what He's blessed us with, one thing we don't have to answer in that day, but the time is not in the time. Chuck it.
I just think of my children. I mean, how many people are around kids? How much of children is it in us when we watch them share something that we see in us? I mean, that is just as pure as you are. You know, they're amazing when it happens. But then again, when they don't share, hey, I gave that to you to share, and you didn't share it. And it's got to be about us. And when they do share, are we going to give our children more to share? And when they don't share, are we going to give them more to do those who just fall for themselves or for themselves? Will they learn? Or will they learn? I'm teaching my child's blessings on another child and teach them in parents.
I hope we get the times, and I think we get the times where we recognize when your child will accept responsibility better than you give them more responsibility to get them good. I know God looks at us and says, well, He can make that responsibility. He made you responsible. He's making all of us responsible for how we use our homes. Do we open and share our homes? Invite people in. I prove you to people. So we share them to you. Everything we have is a blessing from Him. He washes us and makes sure we don't do this for holding. It's not. It's not a moment. This is not.
Yeah. The only thing I wanted to mention, and I don't get cut off, but I just want to say that anytime I want the Lord bless us to buy a big ticket item, I never wanted to buy anything that was going to take away from giving back to the Lord as I should. There are a lot of people that will buy a car, and you know, because it looks good and give you a good deal and all this stuff. But can you afford it? You know, a lot of times we get stuff and, you know, and I think we need to look at that, because it's so important. Not to get something that you can't afford, and then on top of it, keep you from giving back to the Lord. That's dangerous.
You know, that again, I think that's one of those. Debt is one of the best tools that Satan has.
Totally.
It can get you in debt. It can get you in debt. It can get you one more thing. That means you can't give that much back to God. It can get you in debt. It's the type of control that this cost is.
Yeah.
And we all have debt. Don't get me wrong with it. And we all don't have to go to the point that it really disrupts how we use that money like energy.
You know, being a post-war baby over in New York, when mothers didn't work at that time, they stayed home and raised the family. So the money that the fathers brought in at that time, which is barely, and I'm saying barely covered by food, to keep a roof over your head, and even just to keep the lights off. I remember many times when the lights were turned off excess. Okay. If we really would look at how much money it would take to take care of our needs, you'd be surprised how much more we spend on wants that could be used to make the money. Do we really give out of our needs, or do we give out of our wants?
I'm not a percentage I just believe that's an Old Testament teaching. It's a guide. It's a good guide, but I'm not doing anything wrong with it. It's a good guide. But Jesus said everything that comes from the heart. And that's not an excuse not to say, I don't have it, so but my heart is right. I like to give. That doesn't excuse that thought. I think if you take it to your heart and realize what He's done for us, what God has done for us, even to the point of giving His Son to be crucified on the cross, then your heart's going to tell you right. You're not going to cheat your heart. It's your conscience is going to tell you your conscience is good. And again, that if someone is giving 5% and someone giving 20%. Unless you really mean it from your heart, the Lord won't accept the window. And you say, well, I gave it. Somebody took it. But this is who we're giving it. Not to the ownership.
Son-in-law Chris
taught
me every lesson because he gives his regular amount. But if he gets income tax coming in, any extra money coming in, he takes some of that money and gives it to the Lord. How many of us do that?
Oh.
How many of us think about, oh, we've got income tax money coming in, I owe the Lord some of this? He never even known of me until Chris mentioned that.
God gave me a bonus.
But really, where is it coming from? Oh. It's still coming from the Lord.
I would love to do it.
It gets to a question of God for the whole class. What are some of the small things you can get to turn over to God's disposition? What are some of the small things? Walk up, move to that, what are some of the small things in your life that you think? The church doesn't need it. I like it, and so does mine. I want it for myself. I think quite often we buy things for ourselves. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't do that, but it does say that if you're going to treat yourself to that, then if you justify it in your heart, you have a portion equal to that to the Lord. If you've forgotten Him, and let's think about at least a little small thing. Because it's the small things in life that eat us up. And we prepare for the mortgages, we prepare for the loans, and we prepare for something deep. But we forget about these small things when we go through. Look in my closet and I see then 12 pairs of different shoes coming. He will all in the back.
And you know too, how many of us go on vacation and forget to leave our giving stand before we go? Or even, you know, give it when you're coming back. We're gone, so we don't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have stewards of God's things, and if we neglect that, if we do that.
I just didn't think we were going to that.
I was just thinking you could keep bringing up these golf clubs.
but
we all know that community for us and the ministry of the master. And that just turns out when we share, when you go to your home, there is joy in serving the Lord and ministering. You know, we're giving it away, but we're also, a lot of times, we're enjoying it with other people is what you're doing. And, serve the Lord. And you were supposed to have fun here, too. And it's fun to serve. It's not always about, the hard sacrifice. Sometimes it's easy to say, hey, I'm going to play golf,
praise God. I know that the fellows are more fond of fish and you got the squirrels up there and you got the woods up there. And other people go out there and this is a nice spot for us to go in. But I've often told people, so tell you some things that I'm afraid not to share. I'm afraid they won't say good. And that's what we've got to realize, that that's another talent that we've got to use while we're here on earth.
Amen.
How we use it in an answer to God. How does sin take root when we claim ownership of things? What's the ingredient in there when we claim ownership? How does the sin stop taking root? No tool will never.
You're not. That's
right. I've heard that many times.
Many times.
Many times. Again, I go back to the figure that we have in foreign countries. They work long hours than we do. They make only one fifth. They work harder than we do. And they've got much less than much less. So you can't say what you work for. We're in a blessed country. God has blessed us and He's blessed us with good health. We can show up.
Amen. I know, Jerry, a lot of these people in this parish, they're more willing to give than the people that have. And you see that over and over again.
More willing to share.
People that have less are willing to share with what little they have. Mm-hmm. And yet, some of us that, and I think myself, we get stingy with what we have.
But you know, people who are in that position, they have a little stuff.
Yeah.
To be able to be able to get all of it. You know, little by little, but not necessarily with a part of your relationship.
Again, I go back to my personal, you develop a fear.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't tell you that you should it. Because this will tell you, you can deceive other people. You don't deceive yourself. You know in your heart that you're good at life. Yeah. Conscious at all, it's too often we think that we can see everybody around.
Not being selfish, not saying, oh, this is mine, because it's not mine.
Yes, sir.
We need to take another one. Another one.
Bring up the sayings and not the sayings, but it's so very powerful. You make a vow of God and say, no matter what my will is, I'm going to do this. So, I mean, like you said, there's nothing wrong with this way that you know, but that's what you want to add to the lesson.
I think, you know, another thing that can help us to really keep it in the proper perspective is realizing that our very life doesn't belong to us.
Right.
So if our life doesn't belong to us, then how can all the trivial other stuff that we use belong to us? You know, and then when you think about it that way, you realize and you go, yeah, I mean, this is just stuff. And if my very life belongs to God, it doesn't belong to me, and I have no control over it in that regard, then how can I possibly think that anything else belongs to me?
I'm going to leave you with this today. Just remember, if Satan was hooked on drugs, money would be the first of all.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.